before you today on this beautiful Easter morning. Let your truth be revealed to us. Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to the truth of your word. Let your message resound with us today, we pray. In the name of Christ. Amen. You've probably never heard the name Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin. He was a Russian communist leader, and in his day, he was as powerful a person as there was on earth. When I was studying apologetics, I read a story about a journey he took from Moscow to Kiev in 1930 to address a huge assembly on the subject of atheism. Addressing the crowd, he aimed his artillery, his heavy stuff, at Christianity. He hurled insult, argument, and proof against them. After an hour, he was finished. He looked out at what seemed to be the smouldering ashes of the people's faith. Any questions? Bukharin demanded. There was a deafening silence in that auditorium. But then one man approached the platform and mounted the lectern, standing shoulder to shoulder with that powerful communist leader. He surveyed the crowd, first to his left, then to his right. And finally he shouted the ancient greeting known across the Christian church, "Christ is risen!" And en masse, the crowd stood as one and the response came like a crashing sound of thunder. "He is risen indeed! Hallelujah!" It's Easter, the day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Whilst praying and preparing for today's sermon, God took my mind back to a time somewhere in the deep, dark annals of history when I studied real estate agency. That journey is a whole other story. But there are lots of interesting things to learn about real estate operations. But there's one thing which stuck in my mind as the most important element of marketability of a product or a property. Location, location, location. So with that in mind, here are the 3 points that I want to cover in today's message. Get your pen out, bit of paper. This is very profound. Are you ready? He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Now, each of these points is equally important, but I'm going to cover each one in order. Matthew starts his resurrection narrative not with a detailed account of what happened in the resurrection, but by drawing our attention to the extraordinary events and circumstances surrounding the resurrection. Verse 2, suddenly there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. Now, I have experienced earth tremors. You know, when the whole house shook a bit. Not violently, but it definitely shook. And I can tell you that got my attention. But here in Matthew, he describes a violent earthquake, something well beyond a little tremor. It was earth-shattering, window-rattling, road-buckling, noise-erupting chaos. Nobody slept through that. God has got our attention now. Because on that cross, the world did all it could to Jesus. But at Easter, God did all he could for the world, and the earth shook. You don't explain that. You experience it. You feel it. It goes God through you. So verse 2, the angel of the Lord descended and rolled back the stone. And I love this, in one final act of imputed defiance of death, he plunks himself on top of the stone. We're told in verse 3 that his appearance was like lightning, terrifying. So much so that in verse 4, the battle-hardened, brutal Roman guards shook with fear and passed out as dead. But the angel says to the woman in verse 5 and 6, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. First, let's take a look at that fact in verse 2. When Matthew tells us that the angel moved the stone. Why did the angel move the stone? It's not to let Jesus out. It's to let the women see in. The angel had come to show them that Jesus had already risen. And in verse 6, the angel commands the women to come and see the place where he lay. What do they see? An empty tomb. Jesus is not there. The angel says he is risen. They've come to a place of death. Yet there, they find life. This is a game changer. This is a life-altering encounter. The fact that Jesus is risen completely changes their world. Now they shouldn't have been surprised by all of this. It shouldn't have come as a surprise to these women. They knew Jesus well. And this is exactly what he said would happen. So in verse 7, spurred on by the angel, these women, the very first to believe, gripped with breath of fear and bubbling with excitement and joy, are racing to share the good news with their friends, to share what they have seen and heard. Not even death could defeat their Lord. The tomb is empty. He's not there. He's risen. This is clearly a very emotional experience. The emotions described here are a bit like when we laugh and when we cry all at the same time. A groundswell of emotion threatening to overtake us. And they're running, and they're crying, and they're probably chattering excitedly to each other. When suddenly, in verse 9, Jesus meets them on the road. They're elated. They come right up to him. There's no misconception. They recognize him immediately. They understand who he is. And they worship him. So not only have these women witnessed the empty tomb, an earthquake, and the stone being rolled away by an angelic being, but now, they have experienced, they have encountered personally the risen Jesus for themselves. For them, it is completely clear. He is risen. It's a true story for you. An unrighteous teacher asked a grade 4 class during their Easter lesson what they thought Jesus' first words were when he came out of the tomb. A little girl leaped to her feet and said, "Ooh, I know. Sharing the students' enthusiasm, the teacher said, okay, what did he say? The little girl, extending her arms as far as they would go, declared at the top of her voice, "Ta-da!" That story always makes me giggle, because it's probably what I would say. It's a ta-da kind of moment, isn't it? But that's not what Jesus says. In verse 10, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Jesus commands them to go and tell. So obediently, the women go. They go and they share the good news. What is it that they share? What is the good news? Sins are forgiven. Death is defeated. He is risen. And he has made a way for all of us who repent and call on his name as Lord and Saviour to change our eternal address. So the women, they go and tell. And those in turn who heard, they go and tell. And those that they share good news with, in turn, they go and tell. And it's this way that the message of Christ's resurrection has been passed down through the ages. To you and to me. Now, we have been given the good news. It's been given to us. And we are called to go and tell. Friends, tell me, if you had a cure for COVID-19 right now, would you keep it to yourself? I don't think you would. You would want the world to know about it. You would want to save lives. Friends, our world right now has a bigger crisis than COVID-19. We are plagued with hopelessness. We are driven by the virus of sin. We've been compounded by feelings of uncertainty, loneliness, and isolation. But the message of Easter is even more gripping in times of darkness, difficulty, and change. It reminds us that in our darkest days, hope rises amidst the heartache, as it did that first Easter almost 2,000 years ago. The reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus is the greatest message of hope ever given to humanity. Christmas is the promise. Easter is the proof. He is risen. Go and tell. Friends, our church buildings might well be empty this Easter. But as Matthew tells us, so was the tomb. And it sparked a movement which turned the world upside down. It brought those far from God, near to God. And it can happen again. I stand here this morning to declare to you, Christ is risen. I have faith that Jesus was dead and that he was buried. I also truly believe that he rose from the dead and that he will come again in glory. I passionately believe that by his resurrection, Jesus overcame death, that he is still alive and available for each of us to encounter personally today, as the women did that very first Easter. My personal experience is that this truth, this encounter, can and will transform you. And that no one is too far from God that they cannot be reached by the good news of Jesus Christ. Have you considered that our church buildings may be empty because the people of God have been deployed? He is our commander in chief. He has given us our orders. Go and tell that he is risen. Friends, the miracle of the resurrection really did happen. When we look on the events of that first Easter, we are looking at so much more than just events in history. The events of Easter changed history. The events of Easter changed our eternal destiny.